Well, g'day everybody and welcome back to the Hardball Gets AFL show. This podcast is brought to you by Mazda, 60 years in the making. It's the Mazda 60th landmark event. Secure a landmark deal on Mazda BT50 4x4 dual cab XTR. Celebrate at your Mazda dealer or visit mazda.com.au. Today on the show, what we learnt from the two mini finals on the weekend, a bit on Ruffy, Melbourne, Rookie of the Year and Most Improved. If you haven't hit us up on Instagram or Twitter, please do that at Hardball Gets AFL. And make sure you subscribe, leave a rating, and leave a review. All right, get stuck in. Well, this is the Hardball Gets AFL show. My name's Nick Rinn, joined again by Xavier Ellis. How you going, mate?
I'm going really well, mate. Top of the world, actually. Can't complain. And, wow. That's over an exaggeration.
Yeah, you're just going all right.
To be honest, it's a Monday. I'm tired.
Still winter.
Yeah, I burnt through a few beers over the weekend.
Gave it a fair shake.
I really overrated how my situation was.
Yeah.
I've got a dog at home that keeps spewing everywhere, all over both beds. No, it's actually been a shocker.
All right, well, it's good to hear, mate. It's just like everyone else. You're not the perfect man, you know, that people think you are.
Oh, mate.
So what we had on the weekend were, it didn't matter what else, because there were two absolute rippers. One which didn't start out like one, but it finished like one, and one which was pretty good.
It wasn't as good as what I thought the round was going to be.
Yeah.
Like what it could have possibly been. Adelaide sides getting embarrassed. Melbourne were diabolical. But the two games everyone was watching were absolute thrillers in the end. And they weren't probably the most skilled games floating around. Brisbane couldn't keep the ball in the field of play there for a long period of time early.
Yep.
And then, of course, when the rain hit at the MCG, it obviously made it a bit messy then. But, yeah, the four teams, and then there's absolute daylight, isn't there?
Yeah.
Having said that, though, Collingwood were impressive.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
But you just think that injuries get enough of them in the end.
Yeah, wonder what's coming back.
Well, time for finals.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they keep throwing up different names, but whether it actually happened. Funnily enough, one of the guys we talked about maybe being a trade piece, Jamie Elliott.
Oh, yes.
Was outstanding for them.
Well, game, because there was no other forwards there.
Yeah.
We spoke about he's underperforming, but when De Goey comes back, Stevenson comes back.
He has to take a step back.
Then it's like he's going to get starved again. But no, he absolutely was tremendous, wasn't he?
Yeah, no, he was great. Well, let's tackle this one first. Geelong, Brisbane. Nobody would have seen it coming at the start of the last. Although that's not fair. Like, you know, they came back from a few big deficits, Brisbane. But
I can remember quite a few games that they've been
well down.
Well, hanging on by a thread, yeah. Mm.
And that's what I think. That's the one thing that I learned from that game is, if you're playing Brisbane, particularly at the Gabba, you've got to play to the end.
Yep.
Feels like Geelong went in their shells a bit and tried to protect early and went the boundary every time, stayed away from the corridor, and we're just playing percentages. And Brisbane just absolutely, with no pressure on them because it looked like they were going to lose the game, they went nuts and just started running
everywhere.
Well,
they just took that corridor, didn't they?
Yeah.
And just took it on. But, yeah, no, the heat up there, 28 degrees as well.
Might
have played a little bit in it running late. You know, in Geelong at the moment, I reckon it might be 5 degrees or something.
Yeah,
in that little valley of.
And training in Queensland over for the preseason, like it's not. If anyone's ever been there, it's not the heat. It's the just sticky. It's like you're running through the air and pushing your way through. It's that humid.
Yeah, but also obviously they haven't trained in 28 degrees in winter.
No,
but they've still trained in 21, 22.
Yeah.
So the jump's not as big as what it was for the Geelong players. But how good was it to see Chris Fagan's?
Oh, he's after
celebrations at the end.
Yeah, the running. Is it Harris Andrews he gave the big hug to?
I thought he was going to cry in the change rooms when he was interviewed. Did you hear that interview?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, Dad said he's like, I love the boys. And I swear he's starting to well up a bit, which is great to see.
It makes you think, like, this is not beyond the realms of possibility that they win the flag.
God, no.
Yeah.
No. And I think they've got the perfect balance in their team.
Yep.
Who would be their best player?
Probably Lachie Neale.
Lachie Neale's Zorko. So they've got stars.
Yep.
But they're bad players. Like they're worst players on the ground aren't duds.
No.
Like where a lot of teams have got a couple of duds that are tacked in on the end.
Yeah.
And if they get a kick on the day, you're sort of surprised by that. Well, I don't reckon Brisbane at the moment anyone's really surprised by.
Their bottom field like Noah Answorth and stuff. He's like, you know, he's not going to take on the world, but he's really solid.
He's consistent.
Does what he
does. Yeah, I agree. So bottom of the possession, Cam Rayner had 4.
Yeah, right. I mean, Rayner's the one who can do more.
Christensen obviously injured. But then you've got, like, down the bottom, you've got your Hipwoods.
Yeah.
Hipwood, sorry. McStay and Oscar, the big O, all under 10 disposals, or 10 and under.
But they did what
they meant to do.
Like, yeah.
I mean, Big Eric, they probably need a little bit more out of in terms of scoring. You're going to kick one behind. But I think everything else they wouldn't mind.
Well, also, when they did get into a bit of that, Charlie Cameron was so hot that they just cleared it out and just let Charlie Cameron go to town.
Oh, I didn't think he played a considerable part in the game. Yeah.
Is he right, Chris Scott? Is he all right in the head?
I find that a bit hard, yeah. Mate, he kicked half their score. Yeah. They kicked 10 goals and he put through five of them.
Yeah, when they were 5 goals down, he kicked like 3 to get them immediately back into it, and he gave Jed Buse an absolute bath.
So he had 17 disposals as well, so it wasn't 5 goals from 9 touches. He still found the footy. He's had the 8th most amount of touches on the ground for Brisbane and kicked 5.
Yeah, no, didn't do much. Didn't have to worry about him.
I don't get that.
Trying to put down the other a player's performance.
Well, you're just underselling something that was so obvious.
Yeah.
If it was, say, he popped up and kicked 2 in the last quarter, you're like, no, I don't think he did a lot. He was okay in that patch.
Yeah, but he was arguably 5. Best on ground. Like, yeah,
5
yeah.
goals.
Yeah.
He was best on ground.
Yeah. I don't know what goes through. Coaches are a weird mob anyway.
Did Rainer get injured at all?
No. He just couldn't get it. There were like 2 or 3 moments there where he almost did something good and then didn't. But he had, it was a deep inside 50, yeah. Deep inside 50 late, which led to a Charlie Cameron goal in that run home when he pushed further up the ground, which goes a bit more to that play him in the midfield
argument.
He's
out of the team, mate.
Yeah, well, you kind of...
Oh, you'd rather Young...
That said, that you won't roll him through,
would you? No, you wouldn't. But I would rather Lewis Taylor in there.
Yeah, there is an argument for that, but they didn't... he's obviously not one of Fagan's people, is he?
No, not at all. And Cam Rainer, high draft pick, but I mean, 4 disposals, 1 contested, 2 of them were in the back half.
Yeah.
In a promising sign, he was 100% disposal efficiency, so he didn't put too many of his 4 to waste.
He kept hitting targets.
It's just strange, isn't it?
Yeah, but they backed him in, and that's probably part of the Fagan thing. Like, he's probably gone to him at some point and said, mate, like, we believe in you. You just keep, it'll turn.
Yeah, good
like,
faith runs out at some stage.
You would think so, but not, luckily for Cam Rainer, they've been 1-9 straight or something.
Yeah,
or
do you reckon he's been actually on the chopping block and then the next week he saved himself?
Well, I'd done a couple of things.
Throughout the year? Because he obviously, 4 disposals, he's done it a few times where he's been like that.
Yeah.
And then the next week he must pop up and kick 1 or 2 and it's like, you're saved.
Yeah,
off the block.
We'll just leave him in the side for another week.
Yeah, Brisbane can win it.
Brisbane can win it.
Yep. Yeah, I'm convinced.
That would, yeah.
I don't know. Like, Jared Lyons, 28, kick the hot dog.
They've got, like, they're recruiting. Yeah, we spoke about this earlier in the year. Yeah. They're recruiting now. They look like the biggest geniuses in the league, the guys that they brought in. But at the time they did, I mean, apart from Lachie Neal.
It was spare change, the players they're picking up.
Yeah, some
apart
of
from
them,
Charlie Cameron and
Lachie Neal.
They were obviously spending.
Yep.
But, Mitch Robinson, Jared Lyons, Adams... Steph Martin's been a really good player.
Yep.
He wasn't on the scrap heap, but he's been a tremendous player up there for a long period of time. Nick McCarthy and Christensen, they spent on a little bit, but there's free hits in that side that are playing so well.
Yeah, and it's just a perfect combination of list management and draft coming, or everything coming together.
I think it's the opposite to what we've said about GWS over the past couple of years, where they lacked the average player.
Yep. Yeah, they've got a lot of good average.
They had a shitload of stars,
yeah.
And stars don't want to play back pocket. Stars don't want to play forward pocket. Stars want to be the man.
The big fella in the middle getting the ball out or
Whereas
kicking
Brisbane,
the goals.
Brisbane know that Lachie Neal's going to get the ball.
Yep.
McCluggage plays. McCluggage just kicked 20-odd goals this year.
Yeah, I thought a stat in the story, you must have been fish wading on afl.com.au, but in terms of AFL player rankings, that system, McCluggage and Mitch Robinson are 1 and 2.
Yeah.
In the competition for wingmen.
They're absolutely huge, for wingmen. But, I mean, he goes to a stoppage. He doesn't need to be hit all the time. He's happy to defend and stuff. Where the stars, if you got 4 stars in the midfield, they all want to win it.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So it's going to be one of Zorko or Lachie Neal or Jared Lyons probably get it out of the middle and everyone else knows that they'll benefit from that.
They just play their role. Yeah, it's good to see good footy and... The Brisbane fans are starting to make their way back into that Gabba Stadium.
Yeah, they're turning around.
You obviously went to the Gabba when it was full back in the day.
Well, no, I was over here by that stage.
I came over 2000.
I came over like 98. Yeah. But I even remember back then watching the 2002 Grand Final. I was at Mum's on the holidays, and I couldn't find anyone to watch it with me.
Yeah, right.
And that was in Beaudesert. Now we're out of Brisbane.
I was in 2003. I saw a Port Adelaide Brisbane game at the Gabba.
Yeah.
Full house. Great game of footy, too. I think, was it a draw? Might have even ended in a draw.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, no, it was an absolute cracker game.
Yeah. It's one of those stadiums where when they get up and about, and that's, I mean, that's true with a lot of interstate ones where your team's up and about. Like,
if you can imagine what Optus would be like when Freo get back into their form of 2015 and stuff, where they're winning a lot of games.
If you can imagine that, was it 2013 prelim when the place was going bananas against Sydney?
Yes.
Everyone started to say chanting MCG and stuff. Imagine that with twice as many people in the building.
No, like, absolutely.
It could be something pretty special.
Port Adelaide even started to get and go through the doors when they started doing that In Excess song before
the game. Yeah, and Terrace Park.
Now they're starting to drop off a little bit. But yeah, the interstate, there's a few ficklish.
Yeah, there's
clubs
always
that
a
when they're no good, it's like, oh, do I really need to waste my Saturday afternoon sitting here watching this crap?
Yeah.
But then once they're good, everyone comes out. It's bloody good.
Yeah, places like Brisbane, the base, like you just mentioned there, the base is a lot lower. Yeah. But there's plenty of room for growth and plenty of people coming into the building once they get up and about. Geelong, what's going on there? Can't do it. Yeah, Paddy Dangerfield trying to win the match and just not being able to.
Yes, yeah, so Paddy had 36, 23 contested and a goal. But I just think since the bye, that's more of the Geelong we expected to see this year, as opposed to the team that started
running
10 and
like
1 or
nuts.
Whatever it was.
I think it was even 11 and 1, wasn't it?
Was it? There you go. So I think, yeah, that's the team that I more expect. I think they're out of form.
Yep.
And they're yo-yoing around up and down. I would expect them to be better than what they are currently.
Yep.
But not they're probably closer to being what they are now than what they were at the beginning, in my opinion.
So can you turn that around in 2 weeks?
Oh, man, look, read the names. Colajasny, Henry, Bewes, O'Connor, Guthrie, Myers, Parfitt, Narkle, Atkins.
I expected a lot more from Parfitt this year.
But like they're not, you know, they're a top 4 or 5 side.
Yep. They're not the runaway number one.
They have exactly what Brisbane don't have. How we just spoke about Brisbane. They've got players that are
average,
but they're a good average player.
Yeah.
I think Geelong have got...
Average.
Yeah, a little bit of dead wood on there, which you always get to when you're paying
you're going to get to when you're bringing
big bucks.
Bringing Paddy Dangerfield and blokes like that.
Yeah, and Josh Selwood's on a good crust, and so's Hawkins, and all those guys are on really good money, and that you expect that probably if your top end's so strong, your bottom end's going to be a little bit weaker.
Yeah, so I just see it happening again, which is them maybe getting
straight
to the
seven.
Prelim and then just... No, they can get to a prelim, I think, but then almost the game's over by a quarter time in the prelims. Oh, that happened the last couple of years.
Hasn't it?
Yeah. Like, really badly. You expect to... And, you know, it pisses you off as a footy fan.
Where did they finish last year?
On the ladder?
Yeah, they straight-setted last year, didn't they?
I'm pretty sure they did. Because or at least, there was one game where they didn't show up.
Melbourne slaughtered them.
Oh, they finished 8th last year.
Yeah.
On the ladder.
Melbourne absolutely slaughtered them in that final.
Yeah, that was and that was an elimination final.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there you go. Hmm. That won't happen again because they'll have a second chance.
Yes.
But that's even more embarrassing if you have the double chance and go out.
Well, straight sets on a double chance.
Yeah.
That's sort of, like Hawthorn did it last year.
Yeah.
Paul Hawks.
On to the other game now, quickly, Richmond-West Coast. Started off one of the best games of the year, first, and then the rains came and made it a bit more of a slog.
Yeah, it started off for West Coast as one of the best games of the year. They had
Richmond
wrestled
back by half time.
Yeah, they wrestled back into it, but I think West Coast are pleased. Regardless of they didn't get the points, which is going to probably hurt them maybe home final. They need Carlton to beat Geelong down in IMBGA Stadium.
Whatever initials these in.
So that's going to hurt them, but I think in terms of going to the MCG and taking on the Tigers, I think both teams would happily sit and review today and be relatively pleased with their performances.
Yeah, but it does hurt them because West Coast typically need to finish top 2
to
win the flag.
Yeah, it does hurt them, no doubt. But you know, having said that, it's been one of those seasons that strange things have popped up. Carlton, can they get Geelong down there? Probably not, but if it happens...
You wouldn't be shocked.
No, you wouldn't be absolutely shocked. You've got Richmond playing... Yeah,
Brisbane.
So Richmond playing Brisbane. If Richmond give them a clip at the G and West Coast give Hawthorn a little bit of a clip, then they jump up again.
Yeah. So it's not out of their hands.
No.
It's out of their hands, but it's not...
completely dead.
No. But you think that if they get in there, it's them and Richmond are the... Well, I don't know who the favourites are anymore.
Oh, Richmond.
You reckon Richmond are standout
premiership
favourites?
I think it's two teams.
Richmond, West Coast?
Oh, 3, I suppose. Brisbane are in there. But the killer yesterday was the panic at the end with 3 or 4 minutes to go.
Yeah.
Barras trying to keep that ball in, Nelson taking too many steps to get it to his foot, mongrelling it in board. Like, it just, they just lost their composure a little bit, West Coast, after they got jumped. They jumped at the start with playing outstanding football. And then you'd say for the three quarters, Richmond were the best team.
Yep.
I just reckon they lost their composure at the end.
Yeah, and was the wet have anything to do with it, you reckon?
Oh, it obviously suits Melbourne a little bit more, yeah. The way they play, hit on, knock on, get it on, chase it. And Dusty Martin was pretty good, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, how good was Elliot Yeo as well?
Yeah, you haven't. I was watching him yesterday thinking, like, he's had just a sneaky good year. When I was thinking in my head, like, who gets the All-Australian spots? Like,
oh, Elliot Yeo's in there.
Yeah, he probably needs to. But, he almost wouldn't come up in a lot of discussions about it because he's kind of just been under the radar good.
So Dusty Martin yesterday was best on ground by a fair margin, 35 disposals of gold. But Elliot Yeo, just on a side note, 15 clearances.
Yeah, right.
15.
Yeah.
That is huge.
He's almost turned into a different player, hasn't he?
Eight tackles to go with his 15 clearances.
He that's what he's doing this year, isn't it? He's sitting off reading it and not letting anyone get out if he doesn't get the ball.
I do feel as though, and it's funny, I reckon both those two players are best on ground.
Yeah, shared points.
Yeah, well, probably Dusty gets them in the end because of the victory. If Yeo wins, then I'd say probably Yeo. But West Coast would have rather Yeo nullify Dusty a bit more and him have a lesser game than both be heaps. Like, you've seen Yeo do it to Cripps, you've seen him do it to Fife, where he just nullifies his own game a little bit and then he manages to slow the opposition, whereas yesterday he wasn't slowing the opposition. It was a bit strange.
Yeah, I'm just quickly looking up because that did remind me we've got one game left in the Josh Kennedy bet.
Yeah, nah, you're home.
I think we're just on the border, isn't it? He's got to kick 8.
Yeah. Well, having said that, someone did kick 10 2 years ago to beat him in the Coleman on the last day. about Big Benny Brown?
Yeah, just kicking 10. And someone even asked him, like, well, was he the best on ground? It's like, yes, where's the last time a bloke kicked 10 goals?
It was amazing. And to do it, have you seen that bet doing the rounds on Twitter?
Oh, with him in the Coleman.
And then Lockie Neal Brownlow. And it was at $12,000 or $11,000 payout.
Yeah, and he cashed out.
No, he didn't cash out. No.
He's riding it home.
Yeah, it's now down to $900. And he tweeted the other day, that's what punting's about. I was like, mate, you put $50 on that and you're at $12,000. Get out.
Yeah, that is not what punting's about.
Oh, and what are the chances?
Just giving away $10,000 that you had in your hand.
Oh, amazing. It just, I would have panicked and ejected probably on about $2,000 or $3,000.
I was amazed he got to that point. Mm. I thought it was going around as in a, like, I can't believe it's at this and I cashed out at $700 thing.
No, it was live.
Oh, God. Yeah. Clown.
Madness. Absolutely madness. But anyway, as he said, that's punting.
That's not how you meant to do it.
That's an around-the-world trip that he's just burnt.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Lockie Neal's drifted in the brown lane.
Yeah, but it's going to be that. I don't mind. Well, I'm quite excited about seeing the night this year.
Because anyone can win it. First one in a long time. We're interested.
No, Bruce. Terrible. He's giving up the hosting duties.
Who's doing it?
Hamish,
that's right.
Yeah.
He does a good job.
He does.
I like Hamish.
He's a good host.
Yeah, he's good.
He's a better host than he is a caller, I think.
I think he probably would say I think he's a brilliant host.
Yeah.
He's really good at questioning and that sort of stuff. So, no, it'll be good.
Now, your mate Ruff hung up the boots. Didn't get the invite, mate. Where's all these former Hawthorn stars in the rooms?
Oh, well,
where were you?
No, mate, I was sitting at the Bowls Club watching, cheering. But does he play this week?
Well, you kind of like.
So they're still alive.
Yeah.
They're still a live chance to make finals. And he's kicked 6. You get the Brownlow votes.
Yeah.
So he's kicked 6. They're sitting 9th in front of the Bulldogs on percentage. So if Hawthorn beat West Coast and then Adelaide can knock off Bulldogs, they're in the finals. It's as simple as that.
So you can't drop a bloke off 6 goals, can you?
No, but it's a little bit like, did they celebrate
too early?
Yeah, did the gun go off a bit early? If you're serious about making finals, you got to play rough.
Yeah, you do.
Have to.
I remember it's similar to years back. I think I can't even remember if Essendon were in premiership contention or finals contention or whatever, but they came to Subi, James Hurd and Kevin Sheedy's last game.
Is that when Sweeney Lucas kicked 7 or 8 and a quarter?
It might have been that one. But they did their farewell at Subiaco Oval.
Yeah.
Because
Which is strange.
It's almost, that they've done their big farewell to the home fans.
Yeah.
So, but I think you can then play the next week.
Yeah,
I
don't,
you have
yeah.
to, it's not like, you know, you're not hanging up the boots there and then. You're just saying it's your last time in the home at home.
Well, because Mitchell Lewis was out managed, I think it said on the report.
Which is who you think
but they're
going
so, they're
better
so big on him at the moment. Yeah. I think they both can play. But yeah. they're so big on him at the moment, Mitchell Lewis, and he's shown some signs where you think he's going to be a very, very good player.
Yeah.
But he hasn't kicked six goals and dominated like Ruff has.
No. And who's the third one? The redhead 23.
O'Brien.
Tim O'Brien.
He might have a seat.
I think he, like, you know, he's shown signs and he's probably in the long term plans.
Year.
But is it his eighth year?
Yeah, he was at Hawthorn for a year or two when I was there.
God.
So I've been out for 6 years out of Hawthorn.
Wow.
So, yeah, no, and he's just been re-signed again.
He's got a lot out of, like, not a lot of production, hasn't he?
A lot. He shows some good signs. Like Ruckman, mate. Ruckman can hang around for 8 years and play five games.
If you've got a tool, you think he's got a bit of talent.
Oh, the big GWS Ruckman.
Oh,
big
Dawes. Yeah, he's the ultimate
he's
batter,
been
isn't
for
he?
For 11 or 12 years.
He would have earned the journeyman title. Jonathan Giles.
The old journeyman Giles, yeah. Jonathan Giles, another one.
Yeah.
Signed a 3-year deal when he came over to West Coast.
Jeez.
I think Essendon were delisting him. Yeah, and they signed him on a 3-year. I can believe it.
Yeah, well, you'd think maybe then out of those three, you would put Lewis back in and
O'Brien.
Put O'Brien on the bench. Because you just can't, as much as seems like sometimes Clarko's done everything he can to leave Jared Roughhead out of the side this year.
It does, doesn't it? It feels like, and Luke Darcy reported the other day that it's a bit uncomfortable at the moment between the two.
Maybe that's what happens when Hodge and Mitchell had the right idea and get out a year early.
Yeah, well, but Clarko's honest with them all.
Yeah.
If you're not playing great footy, you're not playing.
Yeah.
Which, you know, for mine, I would relent. I'd be like, he's 285 game champion. I'll just slip him back in. He can be the last person picked. But fairness, that's why he's so good. He just doesn't blink.
Melbourne, we wanted to talk about them as well.
What?
Yeah.
So Gold Coast, can you remember the start of the year or early-ish in the year? Melbourne played Gold Coast on the Gold Coast.
Yeah, they scrubbed
Gold Coast
home
were in
late.
front all day, or, you know, should have won. And remember we spoke about Lukosius let his opponent run off him?
Yeah, because he was trying to win.
Trying to win the footy himself or whatever it was. So they kicked a goal nearly on the siren to win that by 1 point.
Yep.
So you give the 4 points to Gold Coast if they just do what they should, do and win the game.
Yeah.
They're equal bottom of the ladder.
Yep.
Equal, next to Gold Coast Suns.
Team that was in the prelims last year.
Like, sitting there with each other, holding hands on the bottom of the ladder.
And for whatever reason, no one's talking about... I mean, a couple of people are talking about it, but there's not this big groundswell of people talking about Simon Goodwin's
everyone
job.
Everyone talking about it is going, why aren't we talking about it?
Yeah.
That is all that's being talked about.
We need, I think, out of all the coaches this year, to have a club bottom out... Okay, there's two ways you can go. One is the whole look, everybody looks everybody in the eye, Bomber Thompson thing.
Yeah.
But he almost had a grudge or had a chip on his shoulder about that stuff for the rest of his career there.
Yes.
So it's almost like you just need to cut ties,
don't
you?
Oh, you're calling it. And he's on a 3-year contract or something.
Yeah, he did that last year.
Mm, yeah.
Well, that's the problem now, that you can't do it for financial reasons because it costs you an absolute bomb.
So I know they've got injuries, okay? But.
Yep.
When you think about the Melbourne team, how many players in their team have won all Australians in the past? Like, you go through it just quickly, like Chandler, no, Wagner, no, Dunkley, no, Lewis, yes, Malsham, no, Petraka, no, Harms, no, Frisch, no, Nylan Bull, no, Kennedy Harris, no, Viney, no, Stretch, no, Salem, no, Hoare, no, Jones, no, Lever, no, Frost, no, Spargo, no. I mean, then you've got obviously Oliver, yes, and Gorn, yes,
yep.
And Brayshaw, no. That's just the standard.
Yeah. One thing which has irked me all year about Melbourne was, and it's a weird thing.
Yeah.
But Ben Guthrie, it's the brother of the Geelong Guthries, was working for the AFL.com.au.
Oh, so there's like the third Guthrie.
Yeah, I think it's a fourth. I think there's four of them.
Oh, yeah, but yeah, there's two, Zach and
Cam.
Cam.
So Melbourne was one of his beats. And he went and he got another job, so he was leaving the job.
Yeah.
And at the end of a press conference, they gave him
the jumper.
A jumper and said, "Here you go, mate. Thanks for working with us." I'm like,
yeah.
You can't be serious. If you take yourself seriously as a footy club, you can't be like giving going away presents to the journalists who's been covering you.
Yeah, well, it's probably.
Do you think Nizzy ever rocks up and says, if Duff ever called Tom, here you go, Duff, here's a signed jumper for you? I don't think so.
How many journalists have you reckon Nizzy's had blow ups with?
I think every.
All?
Yeah.
Have you had a run in?
No, we never dealt too
closely together.
Too closely.
Yeah.
He did. Yeah. He looked you straight in the eye. He got us in for a meeting, me and Bridget, when we started. And looks in the eyes like, and just like, first question was pretty much, who do you support?
Oh, right.
Yeah. Just setting the ground rules very early and knowing who was in their camp and who wasn't.
Well, I actually do think it is important to know who journalists support.
Yeah, I think it's too. I think it's worth putting on the line.
Yeah, I agree. And
even for both ways, for years, everyone was saying Mark Duffield's this West Coast bias. He loves the Eagles. Hey, man, he goes for Fremantle.
Yes.
His nephew was playing for the Dockers for 10 years or whatever.
Yeah. No, no, I agree. I think that especially the journalists over in Melbourne, the pools have so much weight.
Yes. So when, Caroline Wilson, Richmond, Mark
Robbo,
Robinson,
Essendon,
Waitley, Geelong.
Yep. Barrett, North.
Barrett, North.
Just so that when you do read something, you're like, mate, you're just trying to keep the club out of the news or you...
Yeah. I think having North Melbourne as your club is the best option because they're never going to be in a big enough news story. So
there's a bit of Switzerland about it.
Yeah, okay. I'll go for North. Just say it.
Talking about Switzerland, what about Eric McKenzie moves to Switzerland?
What?
Yeah, in 2 weeks. So we're just sitting around having a beer about 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago. What's the news, mate? No news. How's the kid? He's got a little daughter, Florence. Yep, she's going well. How's our wife? Yep, going well. All right, mate. What? Cool. He goes, oh, yeah, just moving to Switzerland as well, actually. I forgot to tell you that. So the biggest and best sports administration degree is out of Switzerland.
Yeah, right.
So he randomly one night poked in his application.
And got accepted.
And got accepted. So now they're moving to Switzerland for 2 years to knock over his sports administration course.
Jeez,
so
that's all right.
To potentially, you know, obviously run a footy club or whatever it is one day.
He's a pretty clued up bloke,
yeah, he is. Yeah, he's clever.
Yeah.
A bit like me. Similar sort of IQ.
Yeah. You're going next year to the course? You start next semester?
Oh, I couldn't take my spot, unfortunately. Yeah, Ted's got a criminal conviction already, so he couldn't fly.
What we wanted to do was...
So back to Melbourne quickly.
Quickly, yeah. I reckon
are you dead, or if you're Melbourne, are you coming back from this next year, or are you going to make the finals, or what are you going to do next year if you're Melbourne?
I think you finish 8th or 9th.
Yeah, I can't see them making finals. They'll get an easy draw, but I still can't see them making finals.
Well, that has to happen. So if they don't make finals next year, Goodwin has to go, doesn't he?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Then he'd have, one more year or... I can't remember exactly when he comes out.
We're sacking all these coaches. We're just picking the person that sits next to them. So,
yeah, so who's
the
assistant?
Point?
Who's the lead assistant in Melbourne? Yeah, very good gig to be in.
Well, who's the ones over in Adelaide at the moment too?
Yeah, well, who is in Adelaide? There'd be a few. Well, Dino Teague just came out of there.
Teague just came out of the footy factory.
Yeah.
I mean, Don Pike, great guy, Don.
He seems like... It seems like that relationship sort of coming to a strained point as well,
so
isn't it?
Just got so weird, didn't it, after the grand final.
Yeah.
They need to do a tell-all about that.
The camp?
Yep.
Yeah.
Tell Give us exactly what happened. All right, so we've got at Adelaide. Hopefully this is updated. We have Matthew Clark in the ruck, Michael Gooden in the midfield, Marty Matner in defence, Ben Hart doing the forwards.
One of them.
We had Don. He also, Scotty Camporelli. Remember Scotty coached there for a bit?
Yeah, that's right.
What about he was really successful? What did Don Pike make his coin on?
I think it was like mining or energy, some kind of resources.
Yes,
boom.
And
like
he teamed up with a couple of Norwegians or something.
Yeah, and went nuts. And then just they called him and said, oh, do you want to be an assistant again? And he was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, no, he loved footy. He didn't love that one. Well, yeah. But, yeah, when you think about, oh, well, wonder what you're going to do if you lose your income from footy as a head coach.
He's like, I'm all right.
That would be a drop in the ocean AFL head coach.
Yeah.
Salary. It'd be a drop in the ocean.
Kenny Lowe, who was the coach of the Perth Glory for a while, he always used to make the quip. He's like, oh, if they fire me, I'll just go back to being an engineer and make better money.
Like, yeah. Kenny Lowe's a character, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a different cat. Always used to do his team analysis at Clancy's Fish Pub with a couple of beers. You would see him.
Was it a pregame? Yeah, like selection and stuff.
I think it was the post game, like reviewing the games. He'd always be there on a Monday night. Like he was a regular, and he'd sit down with his laptop and have beers. And
there you go. I think most
do
coaches do that, from what I hear.
Yeah.
Might be
not as public.
A couple of bottles of red wine, I think it might be. And
yeah, let it breathe
a bit. The last quarter is obviously coded a little bit different than the first quarter.
Yes.
What point was I looking to make on this one? I can't quite remember.
Mike, if you're going to make a mistake, make it late.
Make it late, yeah.
But not crucial. So... Girl, the award season's going to roll out, so we've got one more round of footy, and then we'll have the break, and they'll do a bunch of
off the top of your head,
awards.
Who wins the Brownlow?
It's a good question. I'll say Neil. No, I'll do it. Oh, no, I've been leaning towards Fife.
I just think those big games that Fife played well in Sunny was best on ground.
He's going to be close. But I don't think you're going to need, like, you know, you're not going to need 30
votes
this year.
I'm still reasonably keen on Treloar.
Yeah, true.
Like, I think he's sixth favourite now or something like that.
How does this help the wedding budget?
Oh, if he wins it, mate. Shruth.
Getting married on the moon.
The honeymoon in Africa, all paid for. No. It was actually just a small nibble. I just like Treloar.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, if a gun to my head, I had to choose a player, I'd go Lachie Neale.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, I'll stick that. That was my first lean to.
He played so consistently for the first 17 or 18 weeks.
Yeah, you think he turns the corner, like the halfway mark, with, you know, 15 votes in his back pocket.
And you think probably the ones that are chasing him have fallen off the radar. Tim Kelly would be up there.
Yep.
He's fallen off the radar, you'd reckon. Travis Boak would have been
Travis Boak's fallen right off the radar.
It was quite a few that just dropped off.
Yeah, whereas Lachie Neale's kept bobbing up again. Like, yeah, those blokes haven't had those 30s and everything again.
Yeah, and Fife.
Although Kelly's been relatively consistent, but not.
Doesn't get massive numbers.
He's not.
Like, it gets really hot, good numbers.
Yeah.
But not your 36, 37s, 38s like bloody Jacko McRae the last month.
Yeah, let's talk him down as much as we can also because help him out, free metal make the trade table. Possibly.
Did you see that vision of Sonny Walters talking to...
Yeah.
Do you know what they said?
What?
Tim Kelly said, I'm in.
Oh, really?
I'm on board.
Is this bullshit?
Yeah, absolute bullshit.
Oh, mate, you got me excited for a second.
He'll be in the Eagles colours next year.
Yeah, I'm disappointed Fremantle didn't tank a lot earlier. He's trying to get an earlier pick.
Yeah,
it was very close margin between finishing eighth and or finishing ninth and finishing.
What do you get for Ed Langdon?
I think you almost get a second, don't you?
I'd almost early think second. A late first, yeah.
Yeah, somewhere around that mark.
But you're kicking on the weekend, not very good.
No, this is what, you know, when you try to rate a player and it's like, how disappointed would you be to lose them? And it's like, well, you know.
I would be disappointed to lose Langdon. Just because of the trajectory he's on in terms of his output.
And especially if you lose the other wingman as well.
Yeah, Brad Hill, he's gone.
Yeah, you just lose your two good wings who have had a pretty good year together.
So Ed Langdon's averaging 25 disposals.
Is he? Yeah. He kicks it right in front of goal.
No, it just blasts sometimes.
Yeah.
On the weekend, I mean, he blasted five or six times in a row when Essendon were on the ropes.
Yeah. Which is fine if you've got other blokes who can kick, but Fremantle don't have a huge amount of them.
Like, well, Walters?
Yeah, Walters
Hill,
is the best kick.
Mundy.
Yeah, Hill. And even Hill is only recently like cleaned himself up a bit.
Yeah. He runs that hard.
Yeah, that's the thing.
He wouldn't feel his legs.
No. And Fife's field kick has got better.
It has. I'm not putting Fife down as a good kick, no.
No, I'm not putting down as a good kick either. He's good at everything else, though.
Oh, he's brilliant. He's best player in the league. But he's kicking. Same with Dangerfield. Like, they do everything so well. They just don't kick the ball at that level that they play at.
Yeah, Luke Ryan's another good ball user. But I think we've talked enough about Fremantle.
Yeah, righto.
People would not be interested.
Righto,
it's a very small group of people who are interested. So, award season rolling on. Talk about best first-year players. I think we both know who gets it. I think that argument's done, isn't it? But I've sort of ranked... Probably, I think, a five best out of the year.
Yeah.
So it starts with Walsh. He gets it because of the numbers he's put up. He's a vital piece already. That's how I kind of count him. Whether they're a vital piece of the team, or if you leave him out, would it be a hole, or just fill it easily with someone else?
Oh yeah, you actually feel a little bit sorry for Walsh too, because early days, especially the bit where he was sacked Bolton.
Yep.
He didn't have Curno next to him. He didn't have Mark Murphy next to him. He didn't have those bigger bodied guys playing in the actual positions.
Yeah.
So even as a kid, he was carrying more than really what he should have anyway to start with.
But he answered everything.
Hasn't he? He's been spectacular. Can you remember a better debut season?
No, it's Selwood and this and Selwood, isn't it? You think he's been going better than gone past Selwood's first year?
Oh, I think his individual output has, but
I suppose he doesn't have Gary Ablett and Jimmy Bartel and...
But I think that's harder. To get a kick in a midfield with Brownlow medals everywhere.
Yeah.
I think it's harder to get a kick in Joel's situation, being fifth midfielder in what was going to be the best team of all time there for a while.
Yeah, pretty close.
Then you go to Carlton, you're losing, just throw caution to the wind.
That's a good argument to have, whether you pick out a team of a year and who would be the best, like 07 Geelong versus... You know, let's say
Brisbane,
03 Brisbane, or was it 2000 Essendon?
2000 Essendon. I was an Essendon supporter back then.
Would have been fun.
They were hot.
Yeah.
Still remember them losing that one game to the Western Bulldogs, and being like distraught. One
game.
Over. So Walsh is a stand clear out. He could win the Brownlow in 2 years.
Yeah. He's first up there. The next one on the list is, and I know I've been big on him all year, but I chuck Rosie in there because I was surprised even when I found out. So I just thought, you know, good young player, can kick goals, but he kicked 27 of them.
Mate, I felt like he started like a house on fire.
Yeah, and then dropped off.
A slight little drop off.
And then he's back.
And then he's wound back up again to finish the season, which is really good. Like, you want to, as a young kid, finish the season with momentum, and he's done that.
I kind of liken him to Ben Cousins. I think Ben Cousins' first year he played forward all year.
You going with a Cousy?
He's a Cousy reference. He's not going.
He's not going to be Ben Cousins, mate.
No, but his first year was similar, where he played forward, kicked a lot of goals, tackled hard, didn't get the midfield
time. I'll take your word for Cousy.
I think this is what happened.
Yeah, no. He did. He definitely came in early. Yeah. No, 100%.
He got the rising star that year.
Yes. I would say that Cousins is more. Like, I wouldn't say Rosie's going to be a standalone big hitting midfielder.
No.
So I reckon.
He probably doesn't have the tank.
Not many people had
the tank that Cousins had.
He'll be crafting his way as a forward slash mid.
Yeah. I just really like that. He's actually kicked. That's what surprised me. So I was pulled up the stats in year groups. He's kicked more goals than Aaron Norton this year.
Has he really?
Yeah. He's got 2 goals ahead of him.
And he's kicked some bloody good goals too, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He's a good player. No, very good player. Any other year, you'd be happy as Larry for him to win the...
Yeah.
He's just running into an absolute jet.
Third, I gather nod to Bailey Smith.
You've given him I just looked at his stats then. He only had 15 on the weekend.
Yeah, I know. There's a couple of games. That's what I'm trying to rank. But he is a vital piece of the Dogs midfield.
Do the Dogs have the best midfield in the competition?
Well, if they don't this year, they will next year. Like, just in terms of everyone's natural progression.
Yeah.
They just have options everywhere, don't they? But he's a crucial part of that now.
And he got through the whole season.
Yeah.
It's a bloody good effort these young guys.
His top level games have been good. He's been in the best couple of players on the ground.
No, I agree. I mean, I've been riding him. I felt like maybe you put that in there just to sort of keep a smile on my face.
He has been good. I am pretty big on the Dogs. Then fourth, I was thinking about it and trying to give some love outside of the midfielders. I thought about Oscar Allen. So he got nominated Rising Star. He's still Rising Star.
Yeah, okay.
If we go first year, he's out.
Yeah, no, he's out in terms of... But I agree with you on that, Oscar Allen.
Just a bloke that you can plug into every single position on the field, pretty much.
Mark's the ball at the highest point too.
Yep.
He just shows how long he is once he gets those arms up.
Yep.
And what I was so surprised that it was his first nomination.
Well, I don't think he played. Would he play 2 games last year?
No, this year.
Yeah.
To get it in round 21 or whatever it was. I think
it's like everything. You can't sell it on the stats too much because his contribution is more than what his stat line is.
No, that's why I'm surprised. I would have thought they would have said...
You're just not getting it?
No, I thought potentially round 7 or something. They've gone, okay.
Let's give it
this
to
kid's
him.
Playing the premiership side from last year. He's broken into that. He's pinch hitting in the ruck, which he's never done in his life.
Yep.
And he's kicking some hot dogs. Let's give it to the kid.
Well, that's the thing. They brought him in, didn't they, to replace the forward when Kennedy was out. And then then the forwards came back and said, we got to find a spot for him. He's been super.
And he's keeping out Vardy, who was incredible in the grand final last year.
So I got him fourth for that. And then the fifth spot was, there's a few in the mix, but I went Dersma.
Again, another one of those ones that has had really hot patch.
Yeah.
A little bit quieter with the Port side.
Yeah.
And then, but no.
Just natural, but I think his year... On the base,
I love the arrow.
Strong running. Yes, I do. We need more of it.
I need
more people with trademarks.
Well, Mark Williams, I remember back in the day, had the shotgun. And Clark kindly suggested that the shotgun be put away.
A couple of the other few I had in the mix were Stack, Grind Myers, Jordan Clark.
So what happened to Stack? Why is he out?
His ankle. I think he was out, he was dropped, and then he did his ankle in the VFL.
Yeah,
so
right.
So he's done for the year.
Oh, and Pickett was quiet.
Yeah, you needed...
The horse's bolt, I reckon.
Yeah, would have come close to it. He'd still come... I don't know, if he has a couple of weeks of braining in the VFL and there's a couple of injuries leading into the finals, he might get a look in, but I think it's now too late for him, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd say it's too late.
And Jordan Clark. Yeah, Grime Myers has been strong with Geelong. Jordan Clark the same. Probably outperformed what you think of a first-year player.
Yeah, Myers just needs to... So Myers is second as well. He played the whole year in the VFL last year.
Yeah.
His kicking style where he swings the ball outside his foot that is not going to work in the long run. Like, he's a good player, obviously he's got talent, he kicks goals and stuff, but it just looks ugly. Nothing wrong with having an ugly kick, but it just doesn't look like
just
when it goes wrong,
it
just doesn't work for him. When it's wrong, it's really wrong.
Yeah. But he is turning into one of those small forwards where you think, like, if you had to pick five who you knew could sort of break a game open in 10 minutes.
Yeah, I know. He's another one too. I'm glad that he's playing as a forward because he's a forward.
Yeah. So who else did you like out of the group?
Oh, no, you've ticked them all. I thought Rosie and Sam Walsh are clearly...
They're one or two, aren't they?
Clearly away from everyone else. Yep. And then my boy Bailey's in there. And in terms of young guys, you mentioned Oscar Allen. I think Tim English, I know he's a bit older.
Yeah, true.
Like,
third year?
Yeah, when you say rookie, it's when you're ruck, when you're sort of always a rookie for the first few years. I think he's going to be the big watch next year. I reckon he's got Max Gorn abilities.
I think he's starting to believe in himself.
Yeah, too. I reckon he's got Max Gorn ability to go and be standalone ruckman, do it all yourself.
Yep.
And and get highly paid and be really successful at it.
He's probably better. He'd be a better runner than Gorn, wouldn't he?
Max Gorn, I always just think Max Gorn's a bad runner because of the story of him smoking darts on the way to training. Like, I just assume he's some like lung blows cancer up blower who he turns up, puts his ciggies in his top pocket and goes off.
I can't even in my head, I can't picture Max Gorn running. I just picture him existing in places on the field. Like, he's in the ruck and then he's forward or wherever. He just pops up there.
No, I agree. Mate, what about just looking at the stats of the Bulldogs on the weekend, trying to see how my boy Bailey went 15? Yeah.
Didn't do great on the weekend, did he?
London Pally still had 27 disposals.
He had about 10 clearances or something too, I think, didn't he?
He's a good player.
Mate, see,
eight clearances, 4 inside 50, 6 score involvements.
Maybe this is a lack of faith in the umpiring department, but I still think he's probably in the best three players this year.
Yeah, he would be.
But I don't think he's going to win the Brownlow for some reason.
Well, I think so. Their good purple patch, McRae, will be taken, and Dunkley.
Yeah.
Like, McRae went something like, I looked at it, 45, 39, 39, 41 or something.
But you look at those games and you still think, Bont was probably Bont was good, best on ground.
Yeah.
Just the numbers, And I know they say they don't look at numbers, but when you go and get to 45, you notice him a bit.
Do you reckon they have to get a little mention? They have to. Or they have to look on the big screen or something. Because, for example, yesterday's game with Martin, who obviously will get the 3 votes. But do you reckon someone gives them a tap and says, hey, just let you know, Elliot Yeo had 15 clearances.
Yeah.
You might want to consider him. Like, do you reckon they get fed that stuff?
Yeah, someone's surely got to tell them at some point, don't they?
Wonder when they put their Brownlow votes in. Is it 40 minutes after the game? Is it 5 minutes after the game? Is it the first thing you do when you walk off the ground?
I think it is, isn't it? They go off and then they sit down and have a little round table discussion and then lodge the votes.
And who gets the final say?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah. Anyway.
There's a few who I wouldn't want to get the final say. Not the bloke who almost
died. Which umpire don't you like?
Me?
Yeah.
Rhymes with Fargets.
Not a big fan of Dino.
Not a big Dino fan.
Aren't you? Why not? No, nah. You believe in the West Coast biasness, do you?
Mate, it's not a theory.
Oh, shut up. You flog, mate.
No, just not a fan.
Yeah, okay.
Just
fair enough.
Fan. That's the one. And I think the ones I'm almost not a fan of, like a bit of a traditionalist in this sense, is the ones that you know the name of.
Ray.
Well, like those guys, the same. It's probably a few of them in the same basket. I'd rather not notice the umpire.
The faceless man behind the whistle.
Yeah, kind of that kind of thing. And, and maybe just when there's a deliberate out of bounds, just call deliberate out of bounds. Don't run in for 30 metres and then do the
big arm swing. No, you're a hater. And just quickly before we do wrap up, most improved.
Yes, most improved. There's a few I was investigating, but I think one stands out, doesn't it? Western Bulldogs, Josh Dunkley.
Yes. Well, funny, I was going to say I've got two.
Yeah.
And they're both Brisbane Lion players.
Really?
I think one, it's for different levels of improvement too.
Yeah, see, this is also, it's like a hard one to quantify, isn't it?
So
like,
Charlie Cameron.
Yeah, I had him on the list too.
Yeah, Charlie Cameron I put in. And then obviously I think too, like Link McCarthy.
Oh yeah, coming from a very low base.
He's now, he's won games literally for Brisbane this year. I remember the game against GWS where he tore it apart.
Yeah, that's right.
On the weekend he takes a hanger and kicks the sealer. Like he's, from what you drafted, I'm even surprised you got put on a list to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Had you ever seen enough from Link to suggest that...
There was one year, wasn't there, where he was fit and he was in the side every week, maybe for half a season?
Yeah, maybe. But like,
and I remember seeing a bit and thinking, oh, he's got something.
I think 8 years. Was it 8 years at Geelong?
Yeah, it was a long time.
Do you know what I mean?
Time.
Like, for that, you just think, oh, yeah, no. He's been there since Lachie Neal's been there.
Yeah, he was very lucky that Brisbane was so keen to get Lachie Neal over in a couple of senses, but that's paid off for him.
Mate, Charlie Boy has kicked 52 hot dogs.
Yeah.
He's fourth on the Coleman.
Yep.
Only because he's last name spelt with a C and Hawkins is spelt with a H, so he's above him on 52. So he's in fourth, and Jack Darling is also 52 goals. But there you go.
And his previous best was 29. I mean, he kicked in 2015 and 17, I think.
I know we spoke about it. Tex Walker's kicked 38.
Is he?
He's in ninth on the Coleman.
Jeez. He hasn't looked like he's kicked 38.
You don't believe
it. Even that, it's a little bit depressing that we're talking about a bloke in the top 10 who's kicked 38 goals.
You'll never guess who is 10th and 11th.
10th and 11th. Is there a Carlton player in there?
No.
Who are they?
Sexton.
Oh, yeah.
And Eddie Betts.
Really?
Eddie Betts still kicked 37 goals. Sonny Walters, 37 as well, playing as a midfielder most of the time now.
Jeez,
He's had a good year.
He's had a very good year.
I reckon
year.
He still wins the best and fairest at Freo.
Yeah, true. But Fife might win the Brownlow.
I feel like Eric McKenzie winning the best and fairest and...
Not getting All-Australian?
No, and Pritter win the Brownlow.
Oh, yeah.
So Pritter wins the Brownlow easy, and Easy won it easily.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so there
Apparently, I did hear a story the other day, because Bruce McAvaney would call all the people who were a chance to win the Brownlow and talk to them for like 2 hours to get their life story, just to prepare.
Yeah.
In case he had to get up and do the interview.
Yeah.
And so he called Basil Zemplis, and Bruce called Basil and was like, can you line up Pritter for me?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah. So he called Pritter, and the whole time Pritter's just like, I'm happy to do it, man. I just don't want to feel like I'm wasting his time.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to waste 2 hours of the bloke's time telling my life story for a thing that's never going to happen.
It's funny, we went on a fishing trip up to Dampier the weekend before it.
Yeah.
And had a brilliant time. And then it's funny, 5 days later or 4 days later, Matt Prentice is a Brownlow medalist.
Yeah.
it wasn't even on our agendas. And then you look back and go, gee whiz, he did have a good season, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. I went Dunkley.
So well, jumped, yeah, it's fair.
Jumped 21 to 28 disposals. He doubled his clearances, and it's contested ball that he's winning. I think his uncontested numbers are about the same, but he's got from 8 to 13.
He's a bull, isn't he?
Yeah, and one I would have never seen coming.
No, God no.
Yeah, I thought he would just be a kind of, maybe a 15th to 20th player on the list.
And I'm glad it has, because he's not an outside player.
Yeah, that's right.
I love seeing the improvement in
inside bulls. Yeah. And Taranto's another one I chucked up there, just like...
I looked at Taranto, but I also thought like natural progression.
Yeah,
in terms
it's not
of
unexpected.
Age.
Yes. That's the thing that you, with the most improved, you think like you could have seen this happen. He's jumped. He's averaging 28 touches.
Bloody good, isn't
he's
it?
Having a year.
I think he wins their best and fairest.
Yeah, he might do too. Probably. He's been out there, hasn't he?
Yeah. Kelly Canilio,
five
Whitfield.
Clearances a game.
Good.
He's had a very good year. And Finn Layson was another one I chucked up. Just in terms of blokes, you would have never. He's kicked 36 goals in.
He's kicked 36, and guess who's kicked the one below him on the ladder? Sam Lloyd. Sam Lloyd could easily be in the most improved as well.
Oh, from Western Bulldogs. Right.
Yeah, he's kicked 35 goals, Sam Lloyd.
That's a good get.
Yeah, isn't it? What?
They're going to be... I think this Bulldogs we've seen the last month is what we're going to see next year.
You reckon?
I feel like it. I feel like it's going to turn. And it's going to be very...
Barrett won't be happy, Damien Barrett.
No.
I love it when they get into him about the beverage stuff. The beverage Barney.
Yeah, it is... It's quite enjoyable. but watching it, they're fun to watch. They're a fun to watch
team. Oh, they're fun to
watch
because they rack the absolute piss out of the footy.
Yeah.
Gee whiz, everyone has a touch of it first.
Yes.
Talking about that, did you see the numbers in North Melbourne?
What numbers? What did they get?
Like 500 and something, I suppose. They had like 7 players over 30 and 2 got 29 or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, right. Fair. That's a fair week-to-week change for them, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, well, both sides on Saturday I thought would be a bounce-back story. North Melbourne, I was pretty confident that they were going to get the job done. But then I also thought Essendon were going to get over Freo after their diabolical game via the Bullies.
No dice. No dice for Freo. They were terrible. Jumper, though. That jumper's got to come back, doesn't it?
Oh, I love the jumper.
Yeah, it looked brilliant.
Oh, I absolutely loved it. Yeah,
there's something that's different to anything anyone else has got.
I loved it. But I did read on Twitter, righto, that's enough. Get rid of the anchor. It's holding us down. I was like, the old anchor theory.
The old former... I saw this one come up and I thought it was the strangest thing I've ever read. The former Lord Mayor of Perth, Lisa Scafidi, had a tweet randomly.
Was she in trouble?
Yeah, she's in a bit of trouble.
Yeah.
There's inquest and stuff going on at the moment.
Okay.
But I did laugh because she just randomly replied to a Freo tweet and was like, get rid of the anchor and bring in a flying fish.
Oh!
But seriously, like, that was just a serious suggestion from her.
The flying fish.
I don't think an anchor on your jumper is the reason that you're no good.
But in fairness, they could have been, if they win a flag in 2013.
Yeah.
Then you're like, oh, they've won a flag in the last 5 or 6 years.
They just
years.
Need to win a flag, don't they?
Yes. That's all I need to do. They just need to win one
flag.
Yes.
Doesn't matter how.
Just get on the board and then away you go.
Then you can never talk about that again.
Yep. But at the moment, it's easy for me just to heckle you about it.
Yeah, mate, it's so depressing. It's depressing. I actually ran into Tendai Mazungu.
I did, John.
And I was talking about the podcast. He's like, I'll chuck it on the car. I was like, oh, maybe wait till 3 hours a little bit better. Probably wise. All right, thanks for coming in, X. Thank you all for tuning in. This has been the Hardball Gets AFL Show. We'll be back on Wednesday with the 2-minute warning. We'll see you then.